traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Delighted to have you across America. The phone number is 877-973-7425. I want to play you this clip. This has become big national news because it so rarely happens. This is audio courtesy of Major League Baseball. This happened 2 nights ago at the Chase Stadium in Arizona, the Dodgers versus the Diamondbacks.
Quite a scene here at Chase Field. You're looking live at a bee colony that has established a foothold high atop the backstop behind home plate, and thus we remain in a bee delay prior to game 2 of the series here between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm Todd Walsh. We wanted to give you an update on the situation. I want to show you some of the events that unfolded. This is what we saw right after our pregame show concluded and the bees began swarming, and obviously that's an issue. No one knew exactly how long it would take. Now we hear between 8:15 and 8:30. Blue Sky Pest Control is on their way, but not here in the ballpark yet.
Now, they called a beekeeper, a pest control exterminator, who, by the way, was at his son's Little League baseball game. They had to call and get him over there, and he had his bee gear. But this is not the first time that's happened. The first time it happened was several years ago, and I guess that wasn't the first time it's happened, but really made national news, was in 2021 at an Atlanta Braves game. There was a massive swarm of bees. They didn't know what to do. They thought they were going to have to call the game, but they actually had a man in the stands who was insane enough to go onto the field without protective gear because he happened to be a beekeeper and saved the game. He's joining me. Brian Grant, welcome. How are you?
Eric, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
All right. So I'm not going to do it. You set the stage for us. You're at a Braves game and a swarm breaks out. You don't have protective gear with you, do you?
Oh, not at all. No, I was there as a fan getting a bobblehead. The boys, Caleb and Andrew, they loved bobblehead giveaways, so we were there to get that. Walked in when I saw a bunch of insects flying, and I thought, oh, man, there's a bee swarm here.
So, by the way, I know several people. I was supposed to be at that game, and I couldn't go to that game that night. I had tickets. And friends of mine said they thought it was like moths or something at first. They didn't even like it. They couldn't even process that this was bees coming onto the field.
Right. Yeah. And when we walked in, the gates opened, and then that's when we saw the players running from the Nationals. That they didn't know what was going on, but the bees had come across the field, and then they started to settle in left field in the seats right near the flagpole or the foul pole. And I was like, hey, I'm a beekeeper. Hold my beer, and so walk on down there.
Okay. So, all right. So I understand. So our buddy Josh Kimberly from Georgia Spa connected us together, and he says you went to like concessions and got a box. And how did you convince them to let you go on the field?
Well, yeah, security was moving everyone away. The bees were flying around, and swarms aren't naturally aggressive. But what I had to do was show them that, hey, I had caught some swarms on my phone. They let me down there. I told them we just need to let them settle down. They'll congregate into a cluster. And the idea was just to try to find a queen. If there was one, I asked for a cardboard box, and they went and got one for me. And we saw where they started to land, and there was a baseball-sized bee cluster. And then I just used my hands going through it, found the queen and got lucky with that and put her in the box. And during the game, all the bees settled down, went in the box.
Oh, my God, I need my EpiPen just talking to you. You stuck your hands in a pile of bees. How many stings did you get?
I had zero stings, but I was going to take a couple hits that day to get this swarm out of there. So, but yeah, it was fine. They were calm. We caught one last week that was massive, and they're just, you know, they're looking for somewhere to go. It looks like chaos, but it's an organized chaos, and they know what they're doing. So it's best just to leave them alone, let them land, and then, you know, so we'll remove them.
When I was growing up, we would have these bee swarms come through Dubai they built these massive hives in the eucalyptus trees. I mean, the branches mm-hmm. would just bend. The hives were so heavy, honey would drip out of them. I remember one time this happened a couple times, but this one in particular was we saw the cloud coming on the horizon and we weren't sure what it was. And it was bees, and they came across the field. And I remember there were kids who were freaking out, and our coach said, just lay on the ground and be still, and they're not going to sting you. And not a single person got stung except for the one idiot who decided to swat at them. Everybody else was fine. But it was like I, to this day, remember it because I was scared out of my mind as the swarm, a big enough swarm, you heard the buzzing.
That's exactly right. Yeah, they're not trying to sting. They know what they're doing and where they're going. They're just trying to find a new home. And typically when a swarm lands, they're only going to be there for maybe 24, 48 hours until they find a new place to go. But it's good to have beekeepers around to help remove them, give them a new home, and save the colony.
Okay, so now you were in the bee business before this happened, but I got to imagine that this somehow like kicked it into high gear. It's Grant Boys Honey, I know, is the name of your company.
Yeah, so this did help accelerate a little bit. We started with a couple hives. This was a hobby. So Caleb and Andrew, they were 8 and 10 years old. That's why it's Grant Boys Honey. It's their business. They're 13 and 15 now. And they just wanted to make some money. So we learned something new, keeping bees in 2020. And after that, we sold honey to the neighbors. They all like local honey. And then accelerated it from there, so they kept learning, and they're up to 40 hives right now, produced 1,600 okay. pounds last year.
Hang on, so normal people went with sourdough during lockdown, and you guys decided to go with bees.
Exactly, that's it. Bees is where we went, so they've been doing really good with it.
Well, and you know, there have been all these stories. I actually remember talking to, at the time, Vice President Cheney towards the end of the Bush administration. He invited me to lunch at the Vice President's mansion. And the issue of bees came up then because there were all these national intelligence reports about bee colony collapses and hive collapses. And we were on the verge yep. of starvation because the bees were going away. And yet now there are all these stories in the last couple of years that the populations have rebounded. We now have more beehives than we've had in the last 100 years. I know way too many friends of mine who've gotten into becoming beekeepers, which I understand is not actually like an efficient economical hobby to have.
Yeah, it's a little different from the normal. But I'd say, you know, if we didn't have honeybees, we wouldn't be alive. They're a very important resource, and they have been on the decline. I don't know all the statistics, but just in my experience past couple of years, you've got to treat them, you've got to keep them healthy, and you got to hope they make it through winter. And, you know, the more beekeepers out there, the better. And, you know, there's local bee clubs everywhere if somebody wants to get involved with one. But they're definitely a valuable resource.
So now Josh Kimmerling from George Smart Company was telling me that you guys, you do – what is it? It's hive sponsorships, like Georgia Spot is one. My buddy Ryan Lane with Lane's Barbecue
yep.
sells your honey and exactly. does one of these. What exactly is an adopt a beehive?
Yeah, so in addition to the Boys Bee Company, they started a bee foundation. They have a nonprofit, Grant Boys Honey Bee Foundation. And what we started to do was try to figure out, the boys wanted to see how they can impact the community and impact the environment. And through the community, we're doing that through the schools. So the boys do a 6-week series every spring of where a teacher can adopt a virtual beehive. They'll get updates each week about their bees. They get to see the progression. They're learning about them in school. But what's really neat is that they can it's a kids teaching kids, and they get a lot out of it. And boys have been doing really well with it. We just released week 4 this year. So the sponsors from Lane's Barbecue, Georgia Spa. We also have Pella Windows and Doors of Georgia, Brent's Bath and Body and United Rentals. And those sponsorships help pay for us to produce the videos, have a company to do them. And it's a free resource for the teachers. And that's what we wanted to do. My wife's a teacher, and we know how much they spend on materials. So anything we can do, you know, to help those teachers have a free resource and teach our kids, that's what we're doing.
All because of COVID.
That's where it started, COVID and some and Braves bees.
Okay, so now which has this just become your job, or do you have a full-time job?
No, I work for Progressive Insurance, great company. Oh, okay. I'm sales rep there, and this is the boys' thing. I help them get it going, helping them see where it's going to go. It's teaching them a lot of valuable things, running a business, public speaking, all that kind of stuff.
And that's really cool.
They're learning a lot, and it's just been neat that we've had so many things come from this. The Braves have been great. They've got a bee vacuum. They've got some resources there. If it happens again, they can safely remove the bees and save the colony. And we're looking for seeing what's next to come.
That's really cool. So there's a little backstory here, folks, as well. So Brian called yesterday after the story made national news, and Charlie was like, I don't know about this guy. So I'm glad Josh reached out and was able to get you on, because I saw this happen the other night, and I emailed one of the owners of the Diamondbacks about it, because I remember the Braves situation as well. And they were great, too, because they knew the guy to call. He's at his son's little league game. They treated him like a hero after he got the bees. They let him throw the first pitch out. It was a neat thing with the Diamondbacks. But I remember that Braves game because I was supposed to be there that night. And had it not been for you, they probably would have had to cancel the game.
I'm just glad we were there and we could help out and get the game started on time. I know that's a big thing, but kudos to the beekeeper out in Arizona. I mean, that's a stressful situation to come in and to try to do something like that when everybody's watching. And he did a great job, and I'm happy to see.
And he had gloves and like all, and you stuck your bare hand into a pile of bees. I'm gonna have nightmares.
Yeah, well, if I was on TV, I'd have, in that situation, I'd have gloves, too, if I could.
Brian, listen, thank you for reaching out. This is fun to talk about. I still can't believe you barehanded, like, reached in and grabbed a queen bee. Oh, my gosh. God bless you for that. So it's grantboyshoney.com as well. If people want to actually just see the story and pictures and stuff, it's all there. Yeah. My goodness gracious. Thank you so much for reaching out.
Thanks for having me, and we'll definitely need to get some honey to you. The honey from the stadiums, or the bees from the stadiums, what producing the honey, and we also have a beer with terrapin at the stadium. It's going to be out this summer again, called Triple Buzz. So be on the lookout for that.
Perfect, Brady. There. All right, man. Thanks very much, Brian Grant. Y'all, so my buddy Josh, I was on my way to the ceremony, to the blanket ceremony, the kids' school, and Josh calls me, and he says, so my friend Brian called the show yesterday about this and didn't make it past the call screener. Don't blame him. Even Brian says, I probably sound a little crazy when I called. But I saw this. I was watching this game the other night when it happened. I meant to actually talk about it yesterday on the show. It just we got sidetracked with all the other news. But what a wild thing. And the guy out in Arizona comes in, saves them. Whoever was throwing out the first pitch ceded the rights to throw out the first pitch to the beekeeper. Out in Arizona, and who knew? I mean, it's just what a weird thing. But my gosh, he stuck his hands in a pile of bees without a glove on. I'm not allergic to bees, and I'm going to need an EpiPen if I think about this too much. All right, we'll move on from there. That was such a neat story, and a friend of multiple friends of mine is like, I want to talk to Brian about what it's like to get out there in a swarm of bees on a baseball field and save a baseball game, because he saved the Braves and the guy the other night saved the Diamondbacks. All right, open line Friday, today on Thursday, 877-973-7425. We do have much more news, including I want to explain to you why I would vote against the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act that made it through the House of Representatives yesterday. Sensitive subject for some, but just follow along with my reasoning. When we come back, I'll take your calls as well.
Well connected and well respected. It's Eric Erickson live every weekday.
You
can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here across the nation. Real important for you. I say this all the time, but I really do want to highlight it for you. If you text my name, Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to the phone number 33777, it's just five digits, 33777. Text my name, Eric. You can get the show notes. You can get the live stream of the show. You can get the podcast. You can get all the links to follow me around on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those places. So you can keep in touch. Text Eric to 33777. I want to go to Perry's phone call. Perry, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Eric. How about yourself?
Great.
I just want to say I started listening to you after Rush Limbaugh, and I thought, well, how did this nut hatch get on the radio in that time slot? But you've been great. So I have always
wanted to know why he let me fill in for him with a voice like mine. I literally, y'all, I got a face for radio, but I got a voice for print, and yet y'all listen.
Well, so did Rush. But anyway, I want to talk about the four B's. Biden's border buddies with benefits. Do you think that those people are the ones that are standing in the background at the universities that are the ones that don't go to college there? I mean, we had, 200 or 300 million people come over here from the border. And I'm being facetious, but do you think some of those people are those? Because they're being paid.
I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised. Now, there's a rumor that there's a rumor that claims, yes, they're massive, that like they massive. And I don't believe that's true. And the people saying this tend to be the conspiracy theorists online. But forget the conspiracy theorists. One of the people arrested at the University of South Florida was a 39-year-old Palestinian immigrant to this country who showed up with a gun. We have found a lot of very recent immigrants at these events. It is college students, and we can't distract from the college students, as the media would have us believe. But you're absolutely right that, yeah, I mean, some of these people, and listen, I mean, even the FBI has said they are worried about Hezbollah, Hamas, and others that have had people come across the border who were gotaways, that we have arrested and detained members of Hezbollah who have come across the border. If we've arrested some, we probably didn't capture all of them. I would be really worried about it. And the fact that the Biden administration doesn't seem to be, it's just another red flag for me that the progressives have taken over this administration. And, you know, they're never going to let a crisis go to waste. They've created one. They're going to provoke worse. And then they, who knows, maybe they'll be the ones to use it and say, well, we can't give up power here on the day of Trump's inauguration because we got this crisis. Biden's got to hold over sometime. I don't actually think that's going to happen, but you see where this heads, and none of it's good. It's deeply destabilizing. Perry, look, I appreciate the kind words. I got to let you go there. But yeah, no, he's not going to use this to like maintain power after he loses. But at the same time, to expand government powers, yeah, he would love to expand government powers. Now, I want to expand your power to focus on your job and not have to worry about your computer. And you can do that with Vision Computers. If you go to 404 Compute, call them at 404 Compute, any of you nationwide, whether you're in Greenville, South Carolina, or you're in Sacramento, California, you can call them at 404 Compute. They can build you a computer, and then you get their tech support for free. But if you've already got a computer from Jimbo Bob's one-size-fits-all computer components, and it's garbage computer, but it's the best you could have at the time, you can call Vision Computers at 404 Compute for just $179 for a year, not for a month, for a year. They'll take on your tech support. And so Jimbo Bob's one-size-fits-all computer garbage, they can at least make it work for you so you can get your job done. And then when you're ready for a new computer, you buy it from Vision, and then the tech support comes for free with the computer. VisionComputers.com or 404 Compute. Call them at 404 Compute. Tell them I sent you. You get an even better deal at Vision Computers if you mention my name, and you get a great deal to begin with. And then they can be your tech support faster than Google search, 15 seconds or less. They answer your questions about your computer. 404 Compute.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Greetings, conversationalists. Welcome. I want to spend, listen, my apologies to those of you on the phones. Just be patient with me here. First, I want to remind you, text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, so you can always keep up with me wherever you are. I want to talk about the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. The House representatives passed the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act last night, and I have several concerns. If I were in the House, I would have voted no for against the legislation, and I want to explain why. I would have been in the minority, like two dozen Republicans. More Democrats voted against it than Republicans, yet the media spin is that the Democrats are the ones who had to carry the water and get it passed. In fact, what's her name? Congresswoman Jay Paul, the leader of the progressive in the House, was furious that the Democrats helped Mike Johnson get this passed.
Directly tied to the fact that the speaker finally, after 5 months, brought that bill to the floor and allowed us to have a vote on it. But I will say that Leader Jeffries has been clear, and I've been clear to him, and many of our members have been clear to him, that we are not going to consistently save this speaker, who is anti-choice, anti-immigrant, anti-democracy, went down to Mar-a-Lago to kiss Donald Trump's ring and talk about how, you know, all these lies about how people...
Okay, we can stop her. She's very, she voted against the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act as well. But I have several concerns, and I want to lay them out for you on both sides of this. One is the anti-Semitism on the right. I'm not going to pick on Marjorie Taylor Greene here, but she raised the issue originally and said on social media that she's against anti-Semitism, but she would oppose the legislation because, quote, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act could convict Christians of anti-Semitism for believing the gospel says Jesus was handed over to Herod to be crucified by the Jews. That's not actually what it says. It's not actually what it says. And this has now been circulated by Charlie Kirk and now by Tucker Carlson, claiming that the legislation would ban the New Testament, that it would ban Christianity. These are anti-Semitic lies by people on the right. What they are mischaracterizing is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance definition of anti-Semitism. The definition is this: anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed toward Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. What the legislation did is it took the 2016 definition of anti-Semitism, because the definition has evolved over time. U.S. public policy binds itself to the 2016 definition of anti-Semitism by the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. And those examples, and let me read you the example cited by Marjorie Taylor Greene, who misses a key point. And again, I want to really emphasize, because I know I criticize Marjorie Taylor Greene a lot. I don't think she is willful in this. I just think she misread it or misunderstood it and probably was advised poorly by people. But let me read you the example, the one she's citing, and this is from the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. Using the symbols and images associated with classical anti-Semitism, for example, claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel, to characterize Israel or Israelis. In other words, it's not anti-Semitism to say the Jews crucified Christ. Now, you miss the larger picture that actually the world crucified Christ. If you actually are a Christian, it's not specifically about the Jews. It's about sinners in general, Gentiles and Jews. It was the Romans and the Jews in collaboration who did it. But that's not the point of the example. The point of the example is when you say the Jews killed Jesus, therefore Israel or Israelis are to blame, That's anti-Semitism. The state of Israel as it exists right now did not exist when Jesus was crucified. So to use what happened to Christ to blame Jews today or Israelis specifically is definitionally anti-Semitism. It's what the Nazis did. The Nazis, and I'm going to talk about this later. I mentioned in the last half hour of the show, I want to spend some time in my book because it's so relevant to these campus protests. But the Nazis twisted Christian theology as an excuse to purge the Jews. The fact of the matter is, if you actually read Scripture, yes, Pontius Pilate hands Jesus over to the Jews who say to crucify him, to the Romans, so the Romans crucify Christ on behalf of the Jews. And the moral of the story there is that all peoples, Gentile and Jew together, collaborated in killing the Messiah. That's the theology point. To see Tucker Carlson and Charlie Kirk and others come out and say this legislation would ban Christianity, would punish people for citing the New Testament, that's fear-mongering driven by anti-Semitism, and it's not true. I would just tell you, for those of you who are getting your back up wanting to defend Tucker, Tucker Carlson has not said jack about the campus protests against Jews and by the terrorist sympathizers of this country. He's only spoken up to denounce the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. That's a big red flag in my mind. I'm not one of those people who says, well, so-and-so didn't speak about this. I don't really care. But when you don't speak about that, and then you rush to denounce the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, that's a big red flag about where your heart is. And you all know it's true, whether you want to admit it or not. Here's the criticism of the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act and why I would have voted against it. It has nothing to do with criminalizing Christianity or the New Testament or anything like that. Why do we want to give Joe Biden's Department of Education more power? So I'm still getting criticized by some of my friends on the right for a piece I wrote in National Review last week defending the free market. And their argument is that, well, the left's been using this power. We need to use the power too. We can't just not use it. No, that's not my argument. My argument is not to use the power. My argument is to kill the power. Throw the ring into the volcano. I mean, it's something that J.R.R. Tolkien got right, is you grab the ring of power. You don't want to let it go. But how do you solve the problem of the power? You destroy it. You want to stop the left from coming after you. You destroy the power that gives them that ability. And that is, you gut the Department of Education. You gut the federal government. You deny them the ability to do these things. You deny yourself the ability to do these things. You deny them the ability to do these things. And we don't have the power of the federal government to do this. You do not expand the Department of Education to examine anti-Semitism on campus. Because, you know, most of these campuses already have anti-Semitism committees run by a bunch of anti-Semites. It's like the Human Rights Committee of the United Nations is run by the biggest abusers of human rights in the world. You don't give more power to the Department of Education. On top of that, why did they even push this? This is the bad politics of it. Why did they push the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act? Because they thought it would put Democrats in an awkward position. They thought it would. The Democrats would have qualms about it. What actually happened? A majority of Democrats wound up voting with the Republicans for it, begrudgingly, but they did. And the headline was, because 25 Republicans or so voted against it, Democrats save the Republicans Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. The Democrats, by voting for it, literally undermined the entire rationale for advancing the legislation. It was bad politics. Side note. I don't think the government should do anything about what's happening on these college campuses. Just hear me out on this. The chickens are coming home to roost. Let them be filled up with it. And then the employers of America, seeing what's happening on these campuses, through the free market, can say, we're not hiring your students, because we can't weed out the anti-Semites from the sane people, so we're just not hiring from your university. That's going to force a hell of a lot more change at these colleges and universities than a committee of the Department of Education given power to investigate anti-Semitism. Just wait until the Biden Justice Department turns its anti-Semitism committee on Christian universities. Just wait. Let the free market deal with this. At the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, someone set up a GoFundMe for the frat bros who decided to save the American flag. Bill Ackman, a liberal Bill Ackman, gave $10,000. They've raised over $200,000 to throw a rager for the frat boys at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I thought about giving some money. I probably should have, but they don't need it at this point. Someone wanted to set up a way to reward the fraternity brothers at UNC for saving the American flag. The Palestinian anti-Semitic protesters were trying to tear it down. The frat boys stood around the flag and held it up, kept it off the ground, raised it back up so that the anti-Semites couldn't tear it down. Bill Ackman contributed $10,000 to throw him a keg party. It should be one heck of a party to celebrate frat boys. The fraternities on college campuses of America tend to be one of the last places of like normalcy and Americanness. It's why the progressives want to stamp them out on campus. God bless the fraternities. But let the free market work. We don't need another committee in the Department of Education to investigate anti-Semitism. We see it. We know it's there. And we know these colleges and universities are failing. So let the parents decide we're not going to send our kids there. Let the donors decide I'm not going to donate anymore. Let the employers decide I'm not going to hire anymore. That's going to shape things and affect things way more than any sort of investigation from any sort of committee that grows the Department of Education and its bureaucracy. That's why I would vote against it. And also, as a practical matter, it's not going to pass the United States Senate. So you wanted to do a symbolic effort that's not going to become law. You wanted to make the Democrats look bad. And instead, what happened is the Democrats had to save the legislation, neutralizing the whole idea of the legislation to begin with. It was dumb politics. What is educational, however, and what I really do think you need to note is the anti-Semitism that's spilling out on the right as well. Candace Owens is defending Nazi Germany. Charlie Kirk is nursing his anti-white grievances, claiming the Jews are only just now finding out what it's like to be white. I assure you, if you read the Bible itself, you understand the Jews have very well long known persecution and oppression. Doesn't need to compare them to white people. Now he's out lying about the legislation. Tucker Carlson lying about the legislation. The anti-Semites in our midst are starting to come out, and it should bother all of you. Instead of trying to defend it, instead of rationalize, instead of saying, I like this person, surely not, just recognize what we're dealing with. Using symbols and images associated with classical anti-Semitism, like claiming the Jews killed Jesus, in order to characterize Israel or Israeli citizens, is anti-Semitism. Holding Jews collectively responsible for the actions of the state of Israel is anti-Semitism. Drawing comparisons of contemporary Israeli policy to that of the Nazis is anti-Semitism. Denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, such as by claiming that the existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor, is anti-Semitism. Accusing the Jews of having invented or exaggerated the Holocaust is anti-Semitism. Accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by an individual Jewish person or group or by non-Jews is anti-Semitism. These are the examples of anti-Semitism from the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. Shame on the people on the right for lying about and mischaracterizing those things. Shame on the people on the left for embracing anti-Semitism and marching in the streets against Jews and blocking Jews from college campuses. The far left and the far right are proving the horseshoe theory of politics to be right, and we should all be disturbed by it. but I voted against this piece of legislation because it's a bad idea to give the Department of Education more power, another committee, to fund more of it, to go after colleges. Frankly, we should allow these colleges to choke on their anti-Semitism and go out of business instead of trying to reform them. Let the free market work. The free market should be working in the banking sector, except the government keeps propping them up. In the meantime, the government's going through the secret war on cash. The Swiss America wants to educate you about the secret war on cash and teach you how to protect your hard-earned assets. Right now, you can read their report, The Secret War on Cash. It is completely free. All you do is call or text 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. All you do is mention my name, Eric Erickson. Call or text 800-289-2646. The all-out war on cash includes digital forms of currency. It's spreading daily. The government and business trying to get you to use plastic that they can regulate, control, and spy on you with, as opposed to using cash. Get the Secret War on Cash report for free. Call or text my name, Eric Erickson, to 800-289-2646. 800-289-2646. Message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show, the perfect blend of news, analysis, opinion, and cooking. Yeah, cooking. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Let's see if I can squeeze in Roger's call real quick. Roger, got about a minute. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. How are you today?
Great. What's going on?
Short background. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I stayed out of the VA system. I've seen so many of my friends die waiting on services. I was eventually forced into the Medicare system. The Medicare system is basically a fairly decent system. Why can't they issue a new class card for veterans and fund it by eliminating these VA hospitals that are just crap to start with?
Man, there are so many ways. Medicare would work. A private health care system where the government's just going to take care of the bill would work. I have yet to encounter a veteran, Roger, who with a straight face will tell me that the VA hospitals are fantastic. And those who try to, when you ask them, well, why are people dying in the waiting rooms? They have no answer for that. What you're saying makes a ton of sense. And unfortunately, I think the reason it's not going to work is because it makes sense. The reality is that it's a massive government bureaucracy, and all those people vote Democrats. So the Democrats don't want to reform the system. The Democrats don't have faith in the free market system to fix this, and yet it's the antidote to the problem that ails us. Speaking of the free market system, man, Omaha Steaks wants your business so bad, they're turning their steaks into burgers, and they're worth it. The Pure Ground burgers are incredible. You can get them at omahasteaks.com/Eric today. You get 20 burgers. So it is, let me see if I get this right. I don't have the list in front of me, but you get filet mignon burgers, New York strip burgers. The New York strip ones are great, by the way. They're great. The ribeye burgers, brisket burgers, sirloin burgers. You get five different types, four each. It's the Burger Perfection Flight from omahasteaks.com. $79.99 at omahasteaks.com. They take their steaks and they make burgers. And they're great. The brisket one is so flavorful. Yeah, Now, the New York strip's my favorite cut of steak. I also love it as a burger, which I'd never had until Omaha Steaks sent me some. But they're all really good. They really are. OmahaSteaks.com. You order the Burger Perfection Flight, $79.99. Now, listen, this actually really is the case. Supplies actually are limited. It's great for summer grill-out season. Go on and get them. Park them in the freezer so you can have your summer grill-out with OmahaSteaks.com.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.